Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots Training Camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. Supposed to be tough. The NFL. Training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
And it's Saturday, August 6th here at Gillette Stadium, day 9 of Patriots training camp. And now today, Andy Hart, I think you might have a case to say that this was the most lackluster day that we've seen, at least in the past couple of days.
I liked it.
Yesterday you thought was the case. Paul and I disagreed. I think Paul and I today think today was a little bit more.
I like the physical presence today that I thought some of the players brought to the field.
See, he just
open
tries to
field
be different.
Tackling, he the goal line area. I thought we ended on a high note.
There were some lulls in the practice, but it ended strong.
Absolutely ended on a high note, but for the most part, the rest of the practice was, I thought, like most of the other practices, just long and tedious, not a lot happening, and some up and down play. But I do think the physical play that we saw yesterday, I thought throughout, you saw today in full force at the end of practice.
Yep,
I agree with Andy.
Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino here. We said Andy Hart. All three of us again for this practice. Big news again today, guys, I think, safe to say. The absence of Albert Haynesworth 2 days in a row. We have no idea why he's not out there, but the fact that he's not has Paul sort of worrying about what our cover is going to look like for the next issue that we're putting to bed now. Are you as concerned as our esteemed editor here about why we haven't seen Albert Haynesworth?
I don't know if concerned is the word, but I don't think it's a good sign either way, regardless of what it is. I mean, the guy's learning a new defense with a new team. You want him on the field as much as possible. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, I got to think at least.
Injury or whatever, conditioning or if he had a
those two things.
Whatever, anything. He should be on the field.
Yeah, at the very least, I think those two things are concerns. And I don't mean concern in terms of, you know, I'm exaggerating with the paper and whatnot. I'm talking about concerns about what kind of player, what kind of shape, what kind of contribution he can make. Because I think Andy's right. I think it's probably a conditioning / physical thing. They're monitoring him, trying to sort of maintain him, if you will. And at this early stage, that's something to be concerned about, I think. A guy who's had some knee problems in the past.
Because the last time we saw him, it didn't appear that anything happened.
No.
As far as a possible injury or anything like that. So I guess that's the maybe one silver lining you can take out of it, was that the last time he was actually out there on the field, there didn't seem to be anything amiss.
But a number of times when we saw him, one of the early days in practice he was here, he was with the trainers doing ab work during conditioning. Then in the night practice, he stopped his conditioning after one or two runs.
Has he completed an entire practice? Maybe one.
So, yeah, definitely there was one where he did everything. But
so that's
why something going on.
I think they're definitely monitoring him a little bit, in my opinion. But it is something to be concerned about because he's a guy who has had some issues with his knees in the past and he's had some issues in the past, period.
Right? And by all accounts, at least fan-wise, I don't want to speak for Bill Belichick, but everybody seems to be counting on him to be a big force on the defense, mm-hmm. help fix the pass rush by creating havoc in the middle and drawing blockers, you know, being next to Wilfork in the run.
If you go by the fans, I think he's going to help with the kicking game.
Wow.
The fans think, you know, this guy. I wonder about expectations with Albert Haynes.
A little too high at this point?
In all seriousness.
Well, I think they are for both of those guys.
I'm being facetious.
I would put Ocho Cinco in there.
Yeah, from what I'm hearing, and this is certainly unscientific, the expectation level for Haynesworth to me is through the roof. Ocho, I think they think, is a solid receiver who will be one of a group on that offense that will be productive. Haynesworth, I think people are looking at a transformation of a defense.
And based on what we've seen in camp, the formations that we've seen are predominantly 4-3.
I'm talking about performance, not style.
No, I know what you're saying, Paul, but it's an observation that we've all been making. I mean, it's not like we haven't seen their defense do multiple things in the preseason before, but this is the first time I can remember that they've gone this far, into it with that sort of alignment
I think they are doing different things defensively. I'm talking about performance. I think that people are looking at this one guy is going to take your defense from 32
sure.
on third downs to mm-hmm. the top five, because now you have better coverage, better pass rush, better stopping of the run. I think it's a lot to ask for one guy.
True.
I mean, even if he's 100% and fully committed, I think it's an awful lot to ask of one guy. And I think that we might want to pump the brakes a little bit and let the guy sort of settle in. Let's see what he's going to be and go from there.
And on the other side of the ball, we mentioned him, Chad Ochocinco, has had his ups and downs. To start this camp, today was another up day for him. We were calling him Chad Cachocinco.
Is that what you were calling him today, Andy?
No, that's what I was not.
I dubbed him
that. I dubbed him that, and Andy just kind of giggled and now is distancing himself from the comment.
I thought it was fun making fun of you. I wanted to make fun of him for
that. No, that's okay. But he did have a good day today catching the ball. Had a couple of tremendous downfield catches. Right, even against, you know, maybe not top flight coverage, but he still made the catch in traffic pretty impressive. And I thought the guy who came on strong at the end there was Aaron Hernandez in the team period.
He has been overshadowed by Rob Gronkowski, but today was his day in the goal line. Ran the exact same play three times in a row, started with two touchdowns, beating Chung and then McGowan.
Yeah, you know what was funny about it?
Bill was not happy about it, by the way.
He was more open as the plays unfolded.
Yep. Yeah.
The first one, Chung was actually in decent position.
Right.
McGowan was nowhere to be found, and then by the time the last one came about, I don't even know who was supposed
right.
to be there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Bill was imploring those safeties to stay to the outside, and they weren't really listening.
It
kind of
looked like after that first touchdown when he went after Chung, when Bill, you know, went after Chung after the play, it looked like they made the offense run the same play again.
Oh, yeah.
Just to try to cover it, and it was the same result.
Yeah,
Hernandez got open by a step, made a nice diving catch.
I hate those as a defensive player. Hate them. You know they're coming.
It's a no-win.
So do you cheat one way? Mm. And now you're just the gym hero who knew the play was coming, and then so you're trying not to, and then you get beat because you're trying not to. I think it's you're damned if you do, damned if you don't scenario.
Right.
Then they riversided it. Bill's term for going to the other side went to Hernandez.
Right, Andy just hit himself with his mic.
I hit my head back there. And...
Well, to be fair, it's an easy target. So
good point.
Kind of like you on PFW in progress.
Yeah. Well, you know, we all have our role. So any other observations?
Oh, you were making fun of him.
Aside from the time when Paul turned around to us in camp in the midway through practice and said, far too much punt team today. Any other observations from today's session?
Dane Fletcher had a firecracker in his butt. Not like Albert Hainsworth, who says they have a battery in his butt, but he had a firecracker in his butt.
Now, was he a high-motor player?
He is a high-motor player.
He certainly had one today.
At one point, blew up Dan Copen, call it a pancake block from the defensive player, made a couple other plays, has had a very physical camp. He's filling in for Brandon Spikes, that middle linebacker spot, and
capably so far, it seems.
Yeah, doesn't look out of place. I know our fans out in Wyoming country, Big
Montana.
Sky country, Montana, whichever, you know, those states are all the same out there.
You did this to me yesterday, my friends. You're not going to do it again.
Are following Dane, and I think he looks good. I think he looks even more athletic, more comfortable, maybe even a little bigger and stronger this year. You know, he lived with Gronkowski, and they had their little workout battles all throughout the lockout.
Certainly, as he's starting to learn, you know, nutrition at the NFL
level. I'm okay
level.
With that.
And it's funny you mentioned that the two of them are roommates, because at the end of that play, he blew up the play, basically threw Copen on his back and almost, you know, knocked Brady over in the process. But Brady deftly sidestepped it and found Gronkowski on a crossing route at the back of the end zone for the touchdown. So
yeah, but when he scores touchdowns in the red zone, it's ho-hum. That's what he does.
It really is. It's becoming – he really is looking like a man among boys, even though he's only in his second year in the league. He's really had a great camp, Gronkowski.
Another man among boys in the open field special teams tackling drill, my new favorite player, Will Yeatman. The lacrosse slash tight end out of Maryland, formerly of Notre Dame.
Pulling the Andy Hart fake on people, just running right over them.
No doubt. And the poor soul today was one Matthew Slater, who nearly got broken in pieces.
He's still shaking the effects of that one off.
Yes.
And they made him do it again a few plays later.
And Yeatman showing that he's a nice man. Went easy on him because he could have done the same damn thing
because
if he
lined
to.
Him up to do the same thing. And I think he sort of didn't run quite as hard the second time. And Slater was able to take him to the ground. But, yeah, that was interesting.
It was a great drill. I love it when they bring him to the ground in that drill.
Yeah, and the one defensive player, not so surprisingly for PFW,
who really struggled was
Brandon Merriweather. Taylor
Open
Price,
field tackling is a problem?
Taylor Price ran by him without even getting touched.
Well, it was a move. He put a great move on him. Because
Price does that to a lot of people. He's an up-and-coming receiver on this team, which you've also heard on PFW Progress.
Listen,
everybody else is joining that party right now. We started that party.
But there are times when, you know, the
party starter, I see what you did
the
there.
The small, shifty wide receivers line up, you know, maybe against a bigger, you know, a Rob Ninkovich linebacker type. Mm-hmm. That's not really fair. This is a safety, a two-time Pro Bowl safety, by the way.
In quotes.
Against a wide receiver in space. That's going to happen in a game. That's a scenario that you're going to get in a game, and you need to get a better effort than
better
that.
Better athlete than the second-year player out of the MAC.
I mean, you're supposed to get a play out of that. You know, if he sidesteps Rob Ninkovich or Jermaine Cunningham, I'm not sitting there saying, wow, what an embarrassment for the defensive player. But, you know, a safety is supposed to do better than that. He's going to be in situations where he's in space and has to take down a slick wide receiver.
Special teams action you mentioned earlier, Eric, the disdain Paul has for that area, and they did a lot of punt work today in which Zoltan Mesko was tremendous for most of the day, doing some angled kicks to the left. Mm-hmm. His left did a fine job. And I will say Taylor Price, who I think has been one of the stars of camp in pretty much everything he's done, continues to struggle a bit on punt returns. Another bobbled punt return today, put one on the ground yesterday. He hasn't done a ton of it, and Bill O'Brien talked about that this morning in his press conference.
Yep.
A little bit new to his plate here, and he's, you know, I just talked to Taylor Price, and he said he did a little bit sparingly in college, but he says he feels comfortable back there, but he doesn't look it yet.
Well, and it's appropriate that you bring up the punt team and catching punts and fielding punts, because at the end of today's session, we saw what has traditionally been an indicator of a day off coming for players, where they take a lineman, guy who typically isn't the most athletic player, and put him out there to try to catch a punt in order to give the team the day off. Today they took first-round pick Nate Solder out there, who
bit of a ringer.
Has some athleticism.
Tight end. That's not
right.
Fair.
Former
in
tight
the past,
end.
It was Will Fork and Matt Light. Big,
exactly.
Fat, true linemen. Solder is a tall, lanky former tight end.
Right. The kid just got to practice a couple of days ago. They put him in the pressure situation. What does he do?
I don't know. I missed it.
He caught it.
He caught the punt.
Just kidding.
So chances are, we don't have the schedule yet.
Yes,
but,
we do. It is no. There is no practice tomorrow, and Monday and Tuesday.
Oh, breaking news
will
here.
Be the next,
breaking news on this
I,
podcast.
I told you that before the podcast.
I know. I'm setting you up, Paul.
Oh, my God. Are you two ladies done?
I want to get it straight, because we're actually giving news. It's official. There's no practice tomorrow.
But you guys
I thought we talked about this before the practice.
We did. I knew.
Monday, 1:30 is the next practice open to the public. We will see you here in Foxborough. Well, Andy won't, because he'll be behind the velvet ropes.
It's right. Yellow, but it's a rope.
So, but, I also want to add before we leave, Brandon Spikes missed another practice today. Yeah. Mike Wright missed another practice today. Maybe you want to keep an eye on a couple of those guys.
That's why Dane Fletcher's blowing people up.
We'll see you Monday.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.